So welcome back to the second phase and the podcast number 6 of Pax Europiana. I will now talk about the Eastern Partnership. What is the Eastern Partnership? The Eastern Partnership is now 11 years old and it's the instrument of the EU to help, support and in a way keep on distance the Eastern European countries which are not directly in EU accession trajectory. So I repeat, this is Belarus, this is Ukraine, this is Moldova, and then the Southern Caucasus countries, Azerbaijan, Armenia, Georgia. So how did the whole story happen? It's very important to see 2004 as the decisive year of European history, because there the big bang enlargement of NATO and EU happened. First, we had 7 new countries in NATO in 2004, and then we had in March, and then we had in May, we had 10 new countries in the European Union. And this was suddenly a big transformation of the geostrategic reality of Europe. It has also led to the Ukrainian Orange Revolution, because they suddenly understood in Ukraine that it's really happening. We are serious. Yeah? It's really done, NATO and EU enlargement. It has also happened that the counter-reaction of Russia came, because Putin at that time was stabilizing his power grip, his autocracy, and then he saw, wow, they are coming in a way. And of course, it should not be an argument against enlargement. It should be for more enlargement, yeah? Because this was the choice of these countries to join. We had the courage to include them. Now it's going economically, strategically much better. But obviously, it's a situation where some in Europe and in Brussels have maybe made a deal or not. I'm not privy of any kind of internal information. But the idea was, and then when we do these 10 countries, we will not allow more countries further east, especially ex-Soviet countries, into the European Union and NATO. And so basically what was created in 2004, and I was already against that very much back then, it was the so-called Eastern Neighborhood. The same what we have now in the south of Europe, we have the Southern Neighborhood. And the commissioner back then was Ferrero Waldner from Austria, and she had this kind of idea. Obviously, it was a good way to call it. Neighborhood sounds nice. And it was a way to support financially. And it was, in a way, seen that we have now too much to do with the 10 new countries. And obviously, Russia might not like it. And so this neighborhood was the compromise we did. In 2009, then it was upgraded. Here, Sikorski and Bild made a major contribution, the Polish and the Swedish politician and former ministers and prime ministers, and they managed to talk everybody into upgrading it into the Eastern Partnership, from neighborhood to partnership. So that was also very good, because it was a next level to improve. It has, of course, not helped very much. The Moldovans really tried to get into the EU status, and later, of course, in 2014, it was also done. So the third level then was to have, because the EU didn't really want to give EU potential candidate, they decided to give this new instrument of deep and comprehensive free trade agreement. And that's like an association agreement. It's already quite a big step, yeah. It's very significant. And this has then also the question about joining, you know, that Georgia is in that, and also Moldova. It's led also to various crises, less in Georgia, but definitely in Moldova. But the big decisive crisis was absolutely 2013 about the signature of this DCFTA for Ukraine. Ukraine, from the Russian perspective, is Russia, and they want to keep that. And so that was seen as a step too far. And so all this crisis has escalated, and then the management of the crisis and from the very incompetent Yanukovych, and then Putin very aggressively moving in, and then it all escalated, and the Ukrainians were fighting for freedom, and all escalated into basically a revolution. And then it was decided ultimately by the weakness of Yanukovych running off with his money to Russia. And then, yes, we have European Ukraine. Some in Europe might not like it, but the Ukrainians like it very much. They want to live under European conditions of prosperity, freedom, rights. They don't want to know. They don't want to live under Russian conditions. They know that very well. You know, until 2013, there was a lot of interaction, and there still is, culturally, media-wise, knowledge-wise. So they have decided, and they have made the choice for us in many ways. Sorry. Excuse me. So the situation is like this. We have then 7 years of Eastern Partnership support, yeah? And it was going quite well. There's a lot of regional activity. Nobody really accepted my proposals, which I tried a long time to integrate the Eastern Partnership then in the Southeastern European project. I've published many articles together with many friends. And unfortunately, it was not done. And then we have again a decisive year, the year 2020, not only for the corona, but also because of the elections in Belarus and the war in the Southern Caucasus between Armenia and Azerbaijan. So obviously, with these two major crises in the Eastern Partnership, three countries in a major crisis, anyhow, I think it's time to rediscuss what is the Eastern Partnership. Is it really working? How fair is it to reject the EU future of Moldova, Ukraine and Georgia? This is absolutely unacceptable in my point of view. And how wise it to treat these three crisis countries, two of them allied with Russia in the opponent organization of NATO, the so-called CSTO, and also in their trade integration system of Russia, that's Armenia and Belarus. And how serious is that, that we treat all these six countries the same? And that shouldn't be. I think it's basically, in a way, the end of the present ERP and also the start of a new ERP. Because in principle, the concept of an Eastern Partnership is very good. And I will explain what we should do. But first of all, what should we do with the three countries who really want to join the EU? I made that abundantly clear. Let them join the European Union and let them be EU potential candidates and invite them also to the Regional Cooperation Council and to SEFTA and support them seriously and be honest. These are European countries they want to join, so there is no legal basis in the Copenhagen criteria and ever to reject them. So let's get this done first. Point. Yeah. So what to do with ERP then? Yeah, obviously, when you have listened to some of the things I say, I want enlargement of ERP, and then you will ask me which countries. Let's be very clear where the geography is. Obviously, it is Turkey who should join the Eastern Partnership. Turkey can, in the present stage and for many decades to come, not join the European Union as a political integration and unification process. Not because it's big, but they have other interests. Yeah? They don't want to be in a political union. Yeah? They want to be in a cohesion union, maybe. They want to be seen as European, but they don't want to be coordinating their foreign policy, which is honestly said with neighbors as hostile Iran and hostile Syria and Russia, also a very complicated region. And they have not the patience, not the will to really do European security foreign policy unification. Yeah? So it's not possible. And it's not about religion, to make that clear, but it's about foreign policy and it's about political unification. That's the main thing. Maybe in a faraway future there might be this opportunity, but I don't think so. Not in this part of 2050. So what is the situation? Eastern Partnership can be a very good tool to have this strategic partnership because anyhow Turkey is a Black Sea power, so it makes a lot of sense to connect Turkey, integrate Turkey into the Eastern Partnership, but also then to have Eastern Partnership as a tool where we can really support Belarus in this transition and hopefully leading to democracy, but also the Southern Caucasus countries. But also Eastern Partnership should be the instrument for the Central Asian countries. I say five Central Asian countries, all of them in various stages of crisis and transition. And this is the Eastern Partners of European Union. We shouldn't also leave them to Russia. I include in the Central Asian countries also Mongolia. Obviously, there is no other option for Mongolia to work with anybody but Russia on also China or with us, and why should we not support Mongolia in this instrument? It's working very well, the instrument per se is working very well. Then we have also the country of Afghanistan and Pakistan. And, you know, that's obviously countries we don't know really what to do with. Yeah, we always go into Afghanistan, then we withdraw, then we go back. We have now the third withdrawal a bit in this moment, hopefully not. And then we really don't know. So what I call is Afghanistan. I've made the case already to treat it like a Central Asian country in terms of OSZE membership, but also to include it into the Eastern Partnership. Now comes Pakistan as well. It's an obvious candidate, and obviously not India, because India is very big. We need a separate policy with India. We need also a separate policy against hostile Iran. So basically, the Eastern Partnership should be an instrument from Turkey up in the arch towards Eastern Europe to Central Asia via the Caspian, South Afghanistan, Pakistan. This area in one tool, treated as one region, and make sure that the EU is supporting it with this very well working tool of Eastern Partnership. Because don't forget, Eastern Partnership as a tool, regional cooperation, meetings, various budget lines, for transport, for energy, for all these things, it's working very well. So Eastern Partnership is a success. Just the membership is not appropriate. It shouldn't be the Eastern Partnership budget line for Ukraine, Moldova and Georgia, but the EU accession budget line and instruments. And for the other countries, it should not be like we need a new strategy for Central Asia, which is not working. We have written a paper. I'm sorry, it's getting too long. My capacity to speak consistently is maybe I need some water. So anyhow, beyond my own limitations, what is needed is what I call ERP 14, and it's quite clear. It can be also that Ukraine and Georgia, Moldova stay in the Eastern Partnership and also go to the European Union, because they have also interests in this area, so I wouldn't exclude that. But obviously Central Asia, Mongolia, Afghanistan, Pakistan in the Eastern Partnership, and Turkey as well. And Turkey, I would like to add this, has a lot of interest there. They have created this own Turkey Council, where all these Eastern Partnership and Central Asian countries are members, so not all of them, but most of them. And, you know, it's fitting very much the strategic priorities of Turkey. So Eastern Partnership is really the right tool for Turkey, for Europe, and for Central Asia. So I call for ERP enlargement. Thanks a lot.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.